Today, I'm going to finish up my series on success in life. We define real success as being where God wants you to be and doing what God wants you to do. That is really success. You know, in the natural, we measure success by a lot of different standards. Sometimes numbers, sometimes promotion, sometimes this, that, or the other. And that is success. I mean, we can't deny that. But real success is being where God wants you to be, doing what God has got you doing. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be in a pulpit ministry. Of course, all of us are in the ministry. Everybody's a minister. Every person is a minister. You're just doing it in different areas in different ways. So God may have you ministering somewhere else. He may have you ministering in the medical field, the educational field. You may be a mechanic. You may be an attorney or a doctor or in law enforcement. All of those are positions that God wants people in because He wants His people ministering in every area of life. Hello? And so sometimes when we look at the word ministry, we simply think of here. But ministry is everywhere, and God has you being a minister where you're at doing what you're doing. Now, you know, today is Action for Success. This is the final session. You know, when you walk up to one of those, what you call automatic doors, if you notice, they don't have no handles on them, right? So, if you walk up and you don't see any handle and you don't get close enough to activate that thing, that door won't open. You got to take a step and get into the field where you can be picked up. And when you're picked up, it opens. Let me understand what I'm saying to you. Everybody knows that. So you had to take some action in order for the door to open. Is that right? If you had stood back and taken no action to step into the field where you would be recognized that the door needed to open, you could stand there until your beard got down to the floor and it still wouldn't open because you have to take action. You know, the promises of God are a lot like that. Experiencing success is a lot like that. Why? Because action is required. Have you ever noticed how many of the promises of God, as you read them, God said, if you do this, then I'll do this? Anybody ever notice that in reading the Word of God? He said, you do this and I do this? Yeah. Or else it's implied. Believe in your heart. Say with your mouth. And then you'll have. You see, the first part is us doing something. That last part is God. There's always has to be some action. So now let's go to our scriptures that we have used as our foundation scriptures. Joshua 1:8, we read it from the New King James, from the NLT, and the Message. Sometimes I like to read different versions because it gives you a little bit of different slant. How many ever noticed that? And sometimes you read it one translation, read it in another one, and you get a clearer understanding. Okay, I'm waiting to see if everybody found it on their device and a PC. The people in the front row have all got theirs. Everybody looks like they're ready, so here we go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. That's the King James, New King James. NLT says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. See, then the Message, And don't for 1 minute let this book of Revelation be out of your mind. Ponder, meditate on it day and night. Make sure you practice everything written in it. Then you'll get where you're going, and then you will succeed. Notice the phrase in the middle of that verse, King James, New King James, that you may observe to do, NLT, so you will be sure to obey. Message, making sure you practice. This means at some point, if you're going to be successful, you've got to do something. You have to be involved. You know, success then comes when you take action. Now, all the other lessons before this has led us up to this part. See, there is a time to meditate. First of all, we first define what success was. And then there's a time to meditate in the Word. And then we talked about attitude, the building the right attitude. And then you come to a time to take action. Conrad Hilton, the founder of the Hilton Hotel chain, said, "Success seems to be connected with action. Successful people keep moving. They make mistakes, but they keep moving." Did you hear that? Success seems to be connected with action. Successful people keep moving. They make mistakes, but they keep moving. You know, we would still be in the dark if Thomas Edison had quit when he had his first failure and his thousandth failure. I forget how many thousand. He had several thousand failures before he ever found a filament that would last long enough to give light more than just a few minutes. Anybody ever studied that? I got three or four people in here. You know, you need to know your history. We would not have automobiles if the people had quit when they didn't succeed. They kept going till they succeeded. You know, after God talked to Joshua, then Joshua talked to the people, told them what God said. Then he issued a call for action in Joshua 3, 5, and 6. Joshua 3, 5, and 6. Just turn over there. Joshua 3, 5, and 6. Some people have to turn a page in the Bible. Some of you don't. Your Bible big enough that you just look on the other side. And Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, "Take up the ark of the covenant, cross before the people." So they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. Now the NLT says it like this: "Then Joshua told the people, 'Purify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you.' In the morning, Joshua said to the priest, 'Lift up the ark of the covenant, lead the people across the river.' So they started out and went ahead of the people." The message says, "Joshua addressed the people, 'Sanctify yourself. Tomorrow God will work miracle. God will work miracles, wonders among you.' Joshua instructed the priest, 'Take up the chest of the covenant, step out before the people.' So they took it up and proceeded before the people." Now, I want to identify three things here that I believe that you need to help you to take your action to succeed in life. Identify first the action you need to take. Identify first the action you need to take. So it said, Joshua said to the people, "Purify yourself, sanctify yourself." So the first call to action that Joshua did was a spiritual action. A spiritual action. Sanctify. That means dedicate. Set yourself apart to God. In other words, if we want to say it in our language, make sure you're right with God. Hello? That's what it means. You know, if you want to have God involved in your success, then you have got to take some action to make sure that you are spiritually engaged. Hello? You know, you don't, there are a lot of cars that are still standard transmission, but you can sit there all day long and you're not going to move if you got a standard transmission until you ease that clutch out and engage it. Right? How many of you got a car with standard transmission you have to shift? Few of you do. And now, you see, when I learned to drive, we didn't have no automatics. All right? Well, I guess they did, but it was very few people had one because that was an expensive add-on. Now, you have to ask for the standard. And how many of you learned to drive on a standard transmission where you had to engage the clutch? Did anybody ever go... Come on, be honest with me. How many of you jerked? But, hey, you kept going though, right? Until you mastered it. We have to keep going until we do what we're supposed to. Notice the conquest to enter the promised land began with the first step. And the first step was action. Everybody's success has a beginning point. The first step may not seem that significant to you. But life will never be the same again after the first step. Now, why is that first step so, so important? Why is that first step so important? Why is that first step so important? I'm trying to get it across to you. Because it positions you for the next step. It positions you for the next step. Do you ever realize that as we proceed in life, it's one step after the other, and you can't take that second step until you take the first step? It's sort of like college. In college, university, you cannot take one course until you have taken this course first. Anybody find that out when you're doing that? Working out your schedule. How many have found that out, working your schedule for college? Because I know I got more college graduates than raising their hand. You have to take what they call a prerequisite before you can take this class. That's the first step. It's that way in everything we do. There has to be a first step because without the first step, you can't be in position to take the second step. And without taking the second step, you can't be in position to take the third step. Hello? The first step brings you into a new perspective. Let me give you an example. How many of you have ever looked at something? Okay, I'm looking at the camera from this angle. All right? I got one perspective. Just keep it still right now. I need it still. All right? Thanks. The director was directing him. All right, I'm getting it. But if I move a few steps, now I've got a different perspective of that camera. How many understand what I'm saying? Now, if I ask Steve down there, what his perspective, he's looking at the side, but I'm looking at the side, but he's got a different perspective because of what's behind here and because how it looks on that side. Those people over there, if they look at that camera, they got a completely different perspective look at it from what Steve and I have, because they're looking at it from the backside. You see, many times you see, and I got out of the light, sorry. If you get out of the light, it's not a good picture, but at least I... Many times, many people are reluctant to take that first step because they can't see what's out there. But once they take that step, then they get a new perspective and they can see it differently. How many understand what I'm saying, trying to say to you? That's why, though, each step, the first step is the most important. And then after that, each step is important because it gives you the new perspective to move forward, to move forward, to move forward. Am I right or wrong? Hello? Take action. Take the plunge. Right into what God wants you to do. You know, well, Annette and I left Garland to come and work at this ministry. We simply were doing what God told us to do and could not see why we were in a... I'm preaching every week. I'm in ministry full time. We're where she wanted to be. And everything, and I'm destined to be the pastor of that church. And now God begins to say to us, move. And so I didn't understand it, but I took the step. And if I had not taken that step, when I could not see why, I would not be here today. Even for that first time, it wasn't until Dad said, "Ed Kempman, I'm doing my job. I'm crusade director. I'm reading contracts. I'm making deals. I'm doing this and all this business stuff. No preaching. I'm doing the announcements at the meetings, and I was the best announcement maker there ever was." That's where Craig learned how to do it, was from me. He was out there at a 3-year-old watching me do it. And believe it or not, occasionally I had to lead the singing and Annette played the piano. Now, that's a stretch. But if she pounded the key hard enough, I could hear it. And I had to be sure I didn't get by anybody else, because when I'm singing, if somebody stands beside of me, I can't stay. I get over on their part. And I had that problem. You know, I had trouble singing in a quartet. But we didn't understand. When he said we're going to start a Bible school, all of a sudden, it clicked. Then I knew why I had taken that first step. At first, you may not know why you took that first step. But until you take that first step and stay there, and it was what, 2 years before he made that announcement. Now, what I'm trying to explain to you is the fact that you have to take action and take that first step. And when you take that first step, at first you may not see what, you may not have the view you need. You may not see what you're supposed to, but you got to stay there in that first step until you know what the next step is. All right? Secondly, you must act on God's instructions if you're going to succeed. See, that first part, as I ended there, I took action. But if I'm going to succeed, I got to do it. Now, Joshua 3:6. Then Joshua spoke to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant, cross over before the people. So they did. Okay. Now drop down to verse 13. Verse 13. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off, and the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. Now, here is Joshua telling those priests, take up this Ark of the Covenant. That was the power of God. That was the anointing. That's where the anointing was at that time, rested in the Ark of the Covenant. We have the power of God resting in us. All right, and I don't have time to teach on that. I've taught it before, and you've heard it before. We are the tabernacle, or the sanctuary of the Lord, the power of God. Now, he tells them to step into the river. And they say, I don't know, but some people say it was at flood stage. I don't know. That's what they tell us. So you have to sort of go along with some of these chronological reports. Now, I want you to notice that when they divided the Red Sea, nobody had to get wet. But when the Jordan stopped running, see, the reason it said it piled up on a heap upstream, because downstream it can just run off, and you know, as long as you ain't got any more coming, it's not going to be any water there. It runs off. Now, the priest had to go in the water before it did anything. They had to take an action. Notice it's when they obeyed and stepped into, then the success came. As long as they stood there, man, I don't know whether I want to step in my water or not. Man, I don't know. Oh, man, look at that. Look at that. Whoa. Every one of us have probably done that at one time in our life. As God has told us to do something, we've stood there and looked at it and said, wait a minute. I don't know whether I want to do that or not. Anybody been there besides me? God telling you to do something and you looking at it and saying, I don't know about this. Come on, be honest. Anybody been there besides me? But those priests, they just said, splash. And when they did, boom. You know, God calls us to act when things are not perfect. But he calls us to act because he knows it's possible. Because said all things are possible with God. Now all things might not be possible with us, but all things are possible with God. So he never calls you into action unless he knows it's possible. And guess what? He knows everything's possible. Anybody getting anything? Thomas Carlyle said this, "Ever noble work is at first impossible." They told Alexander Graham Bell that it was impossible to make a talking machine. That's what they called it. He told them, I don't think so. And we look how far we've come till we carry them on our belts or in our purse. You know, Edwin Lewis Cole, Ed Cole, I knew him personally, said, obedience is an act of faith. Disobedience is a result of unbelief. So when God calls you to action, faith will help you to obey. Unbelief will cause you to get in disobedience with God. You can't have both. All right. Success comes to those who are willing to get up off of the pew and take steps in line with God's plan for you. Isaiah 1:19, most of you know it. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Now, you can be obedient and still obeying, but you ain't going to eat, you're not going to eat the good of the land. Because it said willing and obedient. You got to have both of them. If you've ever heard my dad preach, he talked about the fact that he was being obedient to God, but things were really going bad for him. Nothing was working like it should. And he told God, he said, listen, I'm doing it. I'm obeying you. I'm doing what you got, but everything's not working right. He said, God told him, you're not willing. And he said, and I know Candy's heard him, his granddaughter heard him say, he said, it didn't take me that long to get willing. There's some of you, if things are not working right, I'm obeying God. Hey, you better check up on your willing. See if your willing is where it's supposed to be. You may be doing it, but are you doing it willingly or are you doing it grudgingly? Ooh, that's a good subject. You know, Josh Meyer said, obedience to God is a pathway to the life you really want to live. The promises of God and success are not possessed by the smartest people. They're not possessed with the people that's got the most money. But they are possessed by those that are willing to take action and be obedient to God. So then we could say that your success in life can be realized within your daily actions to be willing to obey what God has said for you to do. It all boils down, that's a simple nutshell, okay? What you do today matters. Many people say, oh, it doesn't matter. What you do today does matter because your action of today will make a big difference for tomorrow. Your action today sets up tomorrow. Wrong action today produces a bad tomorrow. Good action today produces a great day tomorrow. And some of you are looking at me, sir. Wait a minute. No, that's the truth. Your actions every day dictate how tomorrow will be. The Bible says it. Everybody in any kind of leadership training tells people that all the time. But actually, it comes from the Word of God. Now, number three. And this one, I'm going to lose a lot of people. We must realize that action means going to work. Hello? Action means work. He said to the people there in 3, 5, and 6, sanctify yourself. That's work. He told the priest, take up the ark. That's work. Let me tell you something. That ark was not a light piece of furniture, if you want to call it that. It was made out of wood and it was overlaid with gold. Gold's heavy. And all of that. It was not an easy thing to carry. And it was only those that were anointed to carry it could even touch it. Now, here's something that people don't realize. The high priest could only touch it once a year, and that's when he went in to do the sacrifice and left the blood on the altar there, on the ark. But those that were anointed to carry it could move it any time that they were supposed to. Anybody else that touched it, they is in trouble. That's why, I'm going to digress a little bit here, but that's why you, for your success, you don't need to try to do something that God's called somebody else to do. You need to do what God called you to do. My dad used to say it like this: don't try to get in another man's office. Don't try to pastor just because you want to pastor. Don't try to be a minister behind a pulpit just because you want to be. You got to be where God called you, doing what God called you to do. Those guys that carried that ark, that's all they did. That was their call. That's what God had them doing. That's where their success was. I could go on a little bit, but I'm just trying to get home. You know, when you come to think about it for just a minute, it was no small task, because the children of Israel, it just wasn't 100 people. I think there were, what, about 6 million of them or something like that, I think it said. You could probably go in numbers and try to figure it up if you could read through all of that and figure it out. But it was no small task for them to get up and move. There wasn't just 3 or 4 families. It wasn't just 12 families. There's 12 tribes. And it was no small task to tear down that tabernacle in the wilderness and to get everything ready. But they went to work. They went to work, and in the morning, they moved out. Although there was supernatural direction, what to do, they still had to go to work and do it. Man, it sounds great when somebody gives out the supernatural plan. This is what God has for, if I stand up here and I give out plans and I give out vision for Rhema Bible Church. Ooh, that really sounds good, Pastor. Wow, ooh, let's go. Put on your work clothes. Put on your overalls and your work boots. Come on now. When the leader gives the call for action, it sounds noble and exciting. But the fact remains, nothing gets done until the people go to work. It may sound exciting when God gives you a plan, but nothing happens until you, go to work and make it happen. Oh, I didn't get as many amens on that. Thomas Edison said this, and you need to remember it. Opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed up in overalls and looks like work. That in the olden time, overalls, that's what everybody wore to work in. People want success, but it requires more work than most people imagine. How many of you have started out on where you feel like you're supposed to be and you found out that it become more work than you thought it was going to be? Let me see your hand. Victor, when you started the tile and rug laying business and tile business, has it become more work than you thought it was going to be? What are you laughing about? Been there, done that, huh? And then, although he has that, he also does leadership training. And I know that he's talked to him, but I guarantee it become more work than he thought it was ever going to become. He's shaking his head, yes. We all have been there. Starting Rhema back in 74. And now, I don't know whether I'd done it or not if I realized it was as much work as it is now. Because I thought, man, this is tough. This is hard. Hey, I wouldn't mind going back to those days compared to these days. Whoa. But I would still want the same success that I have now. But I'm not going to have the same success unless I'm willing to do the work for the success. Does that make sense to anybody? Anybody know who Vince Lombardi was? He's a Hall of Fame NFL football coach. In fact, Vince Lombardi was the type of coach, he said, let me tell you something. He would tell the other coaches, I can give you my plays, and you know what they are. If all of my men will do it, will execute, everyone executes the way they're supposed to, you still can't stop it. And that's the truth. If you will execute exactly how God told you to do it, the devil can't stop you. Here's what he said. The only place success comes before work is in the dictionary. So that means we got to keep working to do what God said, because when we do, payday's coming. And everybody likes payday. The true blessings of God comes to those that are willing to work. Deuteronomy 28:8. I'll wait till you turn there. Deuteronomy 28:8. I hear pages turning, so I better wait a little bit. Because you need, if you don't have this marked in your Bible, you better mark it. I see Pauline's got hers marked there. I can see it from here. How many of you got this place marked? When you turn there, you say, oh, I know what it is. Deuteronomy 28:8, the Lord will command a blessing on you in your storehouse or where you're at, and in all to which you set your hand to, or to what you work at would be another way to say it. So let me finish this series and say it's time for you to rise up and do what God has told you to do, and then you'll see the blessings of God. Are you ready to take action? Are you ready to obey God? Those two, everybody, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you ready to work hard? If you are ready to take action, ready to obey God, ready to work hard, then you got a chance to have success in life, because God said so. Heavenly Father, I've talked to these people for a few Sundays about success as I have looked at it, as you've given it to us from the Word. May each of us take these things and instill them in our hearts, and may we go out and be successful not only in the spiritual area, but may we be successful in the natural too, because you want us to be successful in both of those fields. And we must do in each one of those areas what is necessary for the spiritual success, in what is necessary for natural success, because the same principles work in both. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Anybody get anything out of this series, Success and Life? Good. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you did. I don't know whether you noticed or not, but I really had a good time teaching this series. Anybody notice that Pastor had a good time teaching this series? Two reasons. One, it's something that I like. I want to see people succeed. And two, I just like it when God gives us these nuggets like this that we can get a hold of that will change us both spiritually and naturally. If you ever noticed, everything that I talked about can be applied to the spiritual side to make you strong spiritually, but they can be applied to the natural side to make you have success in the natural. Anybody notice that? Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Bow your head just a moment. You know, you can't be successful until you know God. How do you know God? By accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you happen to be in this place today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know Him. If you happen to be here and you know what it is to serve God and you know that you can't be successful until you rededicate your life to God, or you're here and you say, well, I go to church, but I don't know whether I've ever been born again or not. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, let me see your hand now. You need Jesus. You need to rededicate your life. You need to have a no-so experience with God. You don't know whether you're saved, born again or not. Let me see your hand. Anybody in the room, anywhere in this building. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, everybody stand, please. I didn't see any hands, so I guess we're all born again in here today. Bring people that are not. I like it when people get saved. I can't bring them in. You're going to have to bring them in. I pray about it. Praise the Lord.